Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by LegalZoom, helping all Americans confidently and competently navigate the legal system. For special savings, visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 377, recorded on Tuesday, July 10th, 2018, your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How's it going, y'all? Welcome
hey, we're back. All back together.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
Welcome back. It's welcome back, Jason. How was your trip?
Yeah.
It was awesome. Did a road trip up the coast, then over to Bend, Oregon. Bend is amazing. Have you ever been to Bend?
No, but I have friends from Bend.
Oh my goodness, I want to go back. So awesome. And then we went to Crater Lake, which is a national park that was just breathtaking. Yes. We had a lot of fun, spent a lot of time on the road, which after a while kind of got old, but that's okay. It's part of the fun.
Put a lot of miles in the car.
Put a lot of miles in the car. Use the Anchor Rove system to bring Bluetooth Bluetooth audio into my broken sound system through an FM channel, which I thought FM transmitters were always just lame, but this one actually really worked well for us the whole time. So I've got a solution for my strange car stereo. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. That's my trip in a nutshell. I will save you from looking at all the photos. We'll save that for another day. Actually, you will see a few later. But anyways, joining us, I can't believe that it's been four stinking years since we had you on last. Cameron Summerson, formerly, when last time we had you on, you were with Android Police. But of course, now you're with HowToGeek.com. How's it going, Cameron?
It is going well. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It has, and I don't actually know why. This life and stupidity, I think, is why we didn't bring you on sooner. We really needed to. You've been doing a lot of great work at How To Geek. We were talking a little bit before the show about how challenging doing well-thought-out how-tos in the technology space can be, but yet you're doing it on a daily basis.
It takes practice. It was a big hurdle to jump when I first started at How To Geek.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of articles coming back to me going, no, you have to fix this. So it took a little while, but we're there now.
Does every article have to answer the question, does this tell you how to do this?
Most of them, yeah. It's either how to do it or explain why something is what it is or how it is.
Yeah, like a detailer, a background of some sort.
Meaning of life.
Yep.
Yeah, if you guys have yet to tackle meaning of life.
I already wrote that one.
Oh, you did?
Of life, that was fun. Yeah.
Okay, well, every author should have to write that because that's probably very very subjective.
I was going to say, it's very subjective.
There is no one true how-to for the meaning of life. Let's all be honest. Well, it's great to get you on, man. And we've got a couple of your articles we're going to talk about in a little bit. We're going to discuss a whole bunch of things today. We're going to talk about Google's upcoming EU bill. And by bill, I mean they're going to have to pay a lot, according to sources.
A lot of EUs.
Yes. How to remove Google from Android, courtesy of Cameron, of course. He wrote an article very recently about it. Kind of ties into that. Moto G6 and Moto Z3 Play. We have first looks because we've got them in the boxes and we haven't even opened them yet. So we're going to open that for you. I've been spending many campfire nights with my BlackBerry Key 2 the way I told
so
you I
no
would.
No one ever.
See, dedication to this show. I take a productivity phone on my camping trip.
That's dedication right
it
there.
Is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It
so,
is.
And I've got good and not
and it
as
came back
good
in one
to
piece.
Share. Yeah, totally.
So.
Hey, you know, it withstood. There was even one day where I left it charging out outside overnight, and then I woke up the next day and I was like, "Oh no, did it survive?" Like,
so no
yes,
bears, no bears.
No,
tried
yes,
to,
no bears broke through the
no
D-Tech
bears thought
security.
It was a BlackBerry.
Ha! Black, I get what you did there. That was good. We're also going to talk about why Netflix's binge-watching features might actually be bad for you. You'll want to tune in for that and so much more. Victor, I've missed your news bumper, so sock it to me.
Something tells me Android without Google would be like All About Android without 90210 references.
Yeah.
This is very
basically.
He started driving down the road and he didn't know where he was going, and then he quickly made
he got
a turn.
There.
Good job, Victor.
Donna Martin graduates.
Yeah, the plan was Android 90210.
Okay, all right,
that was it.
Sure. That's a good plan. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Once you started veering off the road, those little slots on the side started going, and then he had to like swerve back on. He knew he was right back on schedule.
There's nothing wrong with playing bowling with the bumpers, okay?
That's fine. Yeah. That's true.
Nothing wrong.
As long as
when you're going
the game,
80 miles an
matters,
hour,
and the time
it's a little
with the
scary.
All right,
Ron.
Speaking of Google and Android, and not of 90210. The EU's the eye of Sauron, the eye of the EU, is starting to set its sights on Google and Android, as Google could be looking at a multi-billion-dollar fine sometime in the next month, as the European Union regulators are expected to issue a penalty for the charge that Google's policies force manufacturers to use Google's own apps on legitimate Android installations. The EU has said that companies like HTC and Samsung must offer Google Search in Chrome browser as default, or else their users will be blocked from access to the Play Store. Hmm. And the upcoming ruling could prohibit Google from striking those kinds of agreements. It could also force Google to offer an easy way to switch search engines and browsers on those devices. Google could appeal, but likely will implement changes during the appeals process. And Google's Android dominance has been built with those rules in place. This could be a major sea change in how Google handles its ecosystem. Free Android for device makers, for example. And Google says its current approach ensures a consistent experience. And last year, the EU fined Google $2.7 billion for ranking its comparison shopping results higher than competitors, and this stands to be a bigger deal. So we saw it happen to Microsoft about 10 years ago or so. Yep. The EU now is trying to break up Google as best they can, it's going to be curious whether Google just writes a check or changes things. So I don't know. We'll see.
I think they're going to have to do both. Is there a world – in a world where you turn on Android for the first time and it gives you that pop-up that you had to see as a result of all the Microsoft stuff that's like, which browser do you want to use? And it lists all the icons and you select it in startup. And that just is how, you know, Android in the EU is required to be tailored. Like,
seems easy enough.
Yeah. Do you think that'll happen? Is that possibly a solution to what the EU is charging here?
I feel like this is... maybe I'm reading these terms wrong, but I feel like this would be good for Google and the EU to just have that like forced, you have to go the Google way on these Android phones. I mean, right. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, what the EU is saying is up until now, let me see if I'm catching your question here. Up until now, Google has said, you have to use Chrome as the default.
Right.
You have to use, you know, our search as the default.
Right.
And if you don't agree to these things that are just part of the standard deal in order to get Google's suite of apps and services on the device, then you're not allowed to, you can't pick and choose, right? And so the EU is saying, hey, this really pushes out all the, you know, the other search engines or browsers or whatever the case may be. It's unfair. We want Android installations in the EU to offer a choice to consumers. And then I guess the question from there is, if they figure out that solution for, you know, in Europe for those mm-hmm. installations, does Google just then say, okay, well, this is just our new philosophy going forward for all the other markets?
Ooh,
that hurt.
So, yeah.
What do you think, Cameron?
Yeah. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me, mainly because you can already install another browser from the Play Store, make it your default, and problem solved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure what they're suggesting, really, ship without a browser or ship with 12 browsers.
Yeah,
because,
right.
Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're using a Samsung device and you want to use Samsung's web browser, which is actually really good for Android,
it is.
Download it from the Play Store, make it your default, never use Chrome again. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess I'm just not. I don't know. I don't understand what the problem is.
Or
how
maybe
not offering.
it would be something like if you bought a Samsung phone in the EU, when you started up, you would go through a boot screen and an onboarding process that would say, okay, do you want to use Samsung's apps or do you want to use Google's apps? And mm-hmm. so you'd have to choose between that, which is what I was...
When I think of using Samsung devices, I mean, I'm trying to remember with the S9 was the last one that I used. I mean, the Samsung browser is the default browser in Samsung
phones,
right?
It's there, right? Like, it's not.
I mean,
like
it's definitely installed.
Yeah, it's all default. It's all default.
But what is the default search engine on the search bar on the Samsung?
It's always going to be Google.
Yeah, that's always
right. It's always going
to
be Google.
I feel like that's probably the bigger difference.
Right.
It's harder to change the default search engine, but yeah, I mean, my S8 I just set up yesterday. I had factory reset it for some reason, and Samsung's web browser is the default option here. So I don't know. Adding something new to the setup process, I feel like is going to be an even bigger issue because the setup process on a Samsung phone already takes probably a time and a half longer than it does on a Google phone because of all their options.
It totally does. It totally does. Yeah, on other manufacturers too have the same thing, I think. Yep. I think LG phones take just as long to onboard, that sort of thing.
But, you know, onboarding is the kind of thing that happens for any normal user, not us that tests multiple phones all the time.
Once.
Yeah, it's something you do once, and it might take a little while to go through it, but you're going to set it up the way that you want and use it that way going forward and probably not have to touch it again.
I mean, this EU ruling, like, it makes sense in the idea of, like, regulating so that Google doesn't become this, like, giant monopoly in all these different sectors of tech. But I also feel like Android's got so much other stuff it needs to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
This would just add complication to things like trying to rein in all these different types of operating systems that are out there, all these different variations of Android out there, trying to rein in how many, you know, versions of certain apps there are on any given phone. My idea is that Google is working really hard on cutting down on this stuff, but with these particular regulations, that would make it a lot.
That's why companies in general don't like regulations.
It's true.
Because it makes things a lot more complicated for them. They have to jump through many hoops in order to satisfy those requirements.
But to that end, this is something that maybe should have been figured out a really long time ago. This should have been figured out at the beginning stages of Android instead of being figured out right now. And maybe Google does have to take a penalty for that because it is like that is a good point. Why that is it's a monopoly. If you only give a consumer one option, it doesn't matter if they know that they can change the default. If you only give them one option off the bat, like one search engine, then how are they to know like, well, this is what the product I bought is giving me.
Yeah.
So why would I change it?
Yeah, it really does sound like the bigger issue here is the whole search engine aspect than it is the browser.
Yeah, it's hard to change the search engine on Google. I mean, you can install Bing, but it still doesn't take over like all your searches. You have to launch the Bing app, and I'm sure there's a widget for it. But, you know, if I ask the Google Assistant a question, it's giving me a Google answer. It's not going to give me a Bing answer, and that's never going to happen.
Right, and on my... Yeah. Here, I'm going to hold on. So on my Pixel, and this is Pixel, just one of, you know, so of course the search bar is going to be ever present. But if I wanted to get rid of that search bar, I wouldn't be able to do that on the Pixel. I wonder how easy it is to get rid of that search bar, you know, the Google search bar on other phones as well, whether you can actually get rid of it or whether it's permanently there. I feel like there have been other phones where you can remove it if you want to, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, and then replace it with a Bing widget or whatever. No matter what Google has been saying here is, hey, we offer a free OS that does not require you to have Google's apps and services on it in order to use this OS. However, if you want our version of this OS, then yes, we have certain requirements. And of course, most manufacturers end up opting for that because their services and their apps are so valuable in the minds of consumers. Everybody understands these things that they've come to expect from Google. And so when you don't have it, you feel like you're missing out and you can't just piecemeal it together and take just the Maps app or whatever. It's like everything or nothing. And so they say, you know, the only way we can do this, the only way we can offer a free operating system the way we do is to then make money off of these services. So if the EU fundamentally changes how they do that, how does that change Google's approach for Android, and does that affect other markets ultimately? Because then you're talking about fragmentation, hate to use that word, but fragmentation of the different types of Google versions of Android, be it in the EU, you know, in the purview of the regulations in the EU versus other markets. And that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
No.
I feel it sounds like a disaster.
It's a disaster.
Like, it's just a disaster.
Or what we could do is we could remove Google from it ourselves.
Yeah, right, just give us an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that would make it super, like, that would fall into the ruling.
De-Google-fy. De-Google-ify.
Yeah, offer Android. An option to de-Google-fy.
And in fact, Cameron, you wrote about this.
I did. Yeah.
It's how capable are we of actually doing this on any number of phones that we have? Is this an easy thing to do?
No, I mean, not on just any regular phone. It's not. Yeah, I can't like pick up the S8 and be like, all right, let's just take all the Google stuff off. I mean, you can take most of it off if you're with ADB and things like that, but just simple, no. The easiest thing to do is just flash a custom ROM, something like Lineage, that doesn't ship with Google Apps, and then don't install Google Apps. So it makes for a pretty empty experience, though.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it's just a kind of how to.
It's possible, but
like, what's the real meaning behind the kind of?
Well, it's. I didn't want it to be misleading. Like, hey, you can just take Google off your phone if you want to. No, it's like, hey, this is a lot more than a lot of people are willing to do. Yeah. But I do think that the people who want to get rid of Google off their phones, a lot of those people kind of have the know-how to do what it is that they want to do, and maybe they just don't know where to find the tools that they need.
Like ex-Windows phone users who are upset that they don't want to go to iOS, but they only have
Android. Man, there are quite a few of those people, and they're
very bitter. I understand why.
They're vocal. I hear a lot of that. They're pretty vocal about that. But like I said, I tested it with Lineage. And all the apps came from the Amazon App Store, which is not terrible, but it's not Google Play. So it's pretty good. And then, of course, the F-Droid, completely open source app store. So there are a lot of people who don't even want any closed source software. And for the purest, most open source Android experience, it would be something like Lineage and then the F-Droid App Store for all the apps, which, I mean, there are a lot of open source alternatives to common apps that people use, but it's just really, it's a challenge to get a good experience from any of that. So.
It was like in college when you'd reboot your computer and you didn't have Microsoft Word. So you would just download the open source
the open source alternative that you and could then get keep on your running PC, into headaches.
It's just like, it was not the same thing. Like, this is not apples to apples.
Or Photoshop. And so you download GIMP. And you're like, why is this window over there suddenly when I push that button? What's going on?
What are these tools? Yeah, it never was the same.
I still appreciate
that. That's exactly
it. No shade to the open source community, because without those things,
you're able to get there eventually, right? You get it to do the thing. But
Open Office was great in a conceptual. But it wasn't there 15 years ago.
Yeah. So kind of similar to what we're seeing here. I mean, sure, you can do it, but I mean,
sure.
It's not just that you're lacking apps. It's also that you're lacking deeply integrated services that Google kind of loops through its versions of Android. What are some of those things that are kind of lacking in that regard?
So maps. No maps. That's a big one for a lot of people is no maps. Of course, no Gmail. So, but I mean, a lot of people who want to do this aren't really using Gmail, or they want to distance themselves from Google anyway. But, you know, I think the biggest one would be like maps. And then you don't get Google's camera, and there's so much that it's just missing. It just feels, like I said, it feels so hollow. Without that deep Google integration, because you don't get contact sync, you don't get bookmark sync. If you store anything in Drive, obviously you get no drive sync across devices. I mean, it was probably harder for me too, because I completely live inside of the Google sphere. I use Google for everything. All my files are in Drive. You know, I have a Pixelbook that I work from a lot. So everything I do is in Google. So trying to use a phone that had no Google was just, it was almost impossible for me. But I've, you know, I know people, one guy in particular that I used to write with at Android Police, he did exactly this and just distanced himself from Google completely. And I don't know that he ever went back. So I guess it's all about what you get used to and what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, right. Do something long enough and it's no longer strange and limiting. It's you begin to learn how to work within those limits, find your alternatives, get comfortable with that alternative, and move on instead of questioning it. That's kind of how I feel about the BlackBerry, which I'll talk about a little bit later. Are there certain devices that are particularly good for this sort of thing? Like, obviously, there has to be some sort of a ROM community behind it, but you can't take just any Android device off the shelf and decide, I'm going to make this a de-Googlified phone. Like, it has to be some devices.
Anything that has good ROM support, especially Lineage, that's kind of the go-to ROM that we at How To Geek usually recommend is Lineage, just because it's, you know, it was kind of born out of CyanogenMod, so it has that nice backing and that good community.
Yeah. Right.
And they update constantly. So anything that's supported by Lineage, obviously some devices are going to be easier to flash than others, like older Nexus devices. Even Pixels are not that easy to flash because of the new update system. But I tested on an older Nexus device, but eventually those are going to get long in the tooth. So it's just going to be something just to keep an eye on what's easily ROMable within the community.
Right, right. And when you strip Google away from it, say using Lineage, are you truly removing it was created by Google. Are you truly removing yourself from anything and everything that Google might possibly be touching? Like, there's no way that they have any sort of fingers into the OS at that point. Is that right?
There's no Google services. So that's the idea anyway. I mean, if there's anything deeper in there, it's not immediately obvious.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, howtogeek.com, do a search for using Android without Google, a kind of guide, as Kara wrote it. And you can kind of see if you want to try life with a non-Google Android device.
Could be interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting, it would be an interesting experiment to see how long you can live with that if you're so used to relying on Google now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you commit to that for like a couple of weeks, what do you think at the end of 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, I was thinking about people who are really freaking out about the prevalence of Google Assistant and how it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And maybe a Google-less Android phone would make them feel more at peace with the fact that there's no assistant following them around everywhere.
One of many ways that, you know, Google wouldn't be following them around anywhere.
Which just makes me think if there's maybe a niche market for this that we're not exploring.
But I feel like when side shoot hardware comes out that's like, but this is the security phone.
True.
For the niche market for security minded people. And security is a big deal. That's just one of many examples. And I feel like those just never really.
Oh, no. And I don't mean like something super consumer driven. I just mean like going to the internet and somebody goes, hey, I put together this package. All you have to do is unload it on your Android device.
And trust me.
Trust me,
dude.
Trust me. Very good. Very good. I feel like Amazon attempted something similar with the Fire Phone, though, because that's kind of what it is. There's no Google, and you're going to get apps from the Amazon App Store. And we see how well that did. It was tremendous.
Yeah. And you got you had the bonus of fake 3D. So they couldn't even shoehorn that in there.
I'm so mad that didn't take off. I was really hoping for that.
Yeah, it was an interesting.
The four cameras on that phone, right? One in each corner.
Yep. Oh man, it was.
And we're going back that direction for ultra selfies now.
That's true.
Ultra selfies.
The multiple cameras on the front of the device. We are kind of headed. Amazon could end up having the last laugh. Be like, see, we were there first.
Well, you could be there first, but it might not have been the right time. That's the thing.
Yes. Number of cameras doesn't necessarily mean they did it right.
Exactly.
All right. So let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll get into some cool hardware stuff. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. We're going to talk about home buying for a moment. If you've bought a home, or maybe you haven't, you're thinking about it, you should know that because of rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to buying a home these days. It's causing a lot of anxiety with folks. You don't quite know where those interest rates are going to go. Well, our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. They're calling it the power buying process. And here is how it works. Quicken Loans will verify your income, your assets, your credit in less than 24 hours. They do a super quick turnaround on this to give you a verified approval. This gives you the strength of a cash buyer. And if you know when you're searching for a home, if you are a cash buyer, you are sought after by anyone that's selling because they know it's going to be fast and painless. Once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, they're going to lock up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. So if those rates change, you're already locked in. That's a great thing to have. And here's the best part. Like I said, if those rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate also drops. So either way, you totally win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right, we've got hardware in the house. It's time for hardware in the house. Hardware in the house.
Raise the roof, raise the roof, raise the roof.
Uh-huh. Okay. sorry.
Very exciting.
First hardware that we have in the house, I teased a couple of weeks ago before my road trip that I was going to be taking the BlackBerry Key 2, which is this device right here, this bad mama jama with a keyboard down at the bottom and a 3:2 aspect ratio. A little bit of interesting details about this. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I took it on my vacation with me and played around with it as much as one does when they're camping and stuff. I'll be honest, there were times when I didn't have a whole lot of data connectivity, and it was beautiful because, I wasn't being notified about my many emails and that sort of stuff. But I was able to use it here and there, and I'm just swiping away some notifications here. First of all, I'll go ahead and show you the kind of neat thing about this, that the space bar does have the fingerprint sensor embedded in it, so you can just tap it and move on. So I'm going to be doing a full review of this on the new Screensavers this weekend, so you can expect a full review, but I thought I'd give you kind of like my preview impressions from my time with this over the last week and a half on the road. Design-wise, I think this is a really solid device. It's got, nice aluminum siding here. The back has this nice textured backing that makes it really slip proof. Not proof, but it really reduces the capability for this to slip out of your hands. Anti-slip. That's probably what they call it. That's probably a more official name for it. But it's tacky nonetheless, which does kind of get some finger marks here and there. But I think overall, it works really well. If I'm going to unlock this, I think I mentioned when I showed it off the last time that it has... What is going on here? It has something strange. It's like it was locked up or something. There we go. It has this convenience key on the side, and I could tap that, and I've got it set up for 3 quick shortcuts. So anytime I want to, I can just tap this, my 3 shortcuts. I could jump into the All About Android Allo channel, the only reason mm-hmm. I ever use Allo, mm-hmm. Calling my wife, or go into Authy when I need to do some 2-factor authentication. I've assigned those that way.
Wow, and we're up there with Authy?
Well, sometimes I gotta chat with you guys like now. Same with my wife. Gotta chat with you now. Yes. It's important. It requires its own button. So that's really nice. There's a lot of customization and customizability in this device, which I think people who are who really like to do that, really get in there and make their device their own, they're going to be pretty happy with what you get out of the box here. Another thing that you get in the software is this swipe to the side, and it houses a number of things like widgets. If you want to have your widgets in there, I'm not going to pull it up because my Authy widget is there, and a number of things, getting into chat, that sort of stuff. The keyboard. So while I was on the trip, my daughter constantly referred to it as my, quote, funny looking phone. Which tells you something
about the new generation
and where, you know, BlackBerry kind of holding on to this hardware keyboard thing, which they are known for. So you understand why they do it. But I think as a generation, we've really moved away from it. So
that's very interesting.
Well, keep in mind, she's also 8 years old.
She's not discriminating of
tech reviewers. But nonetheless, it's an odd thing for her to see, right?
For me, it just looks vintage.
Yeah, it is. It is vintage. Yeah. It totally is. And, you know, I had a few BlackBerries back in the day. I would say that the keys on this are right up there with any of the BlackBerries that I actually cared for. The difference is that I've changed. And
yes, you have.
You know what I mean? Like, we've gotten so used to this tap screen, hold with one hand, swipe with the other, or maybe tapping with our thumbs. But even then, tapping on a keyboard is as quick as just a single tap, a single touch on the screen, and it will go through it. And now, going back to this row of keys down here that are mechanical, it's not just tapping. It's tap and push, and you have to push it in and register it. And for whatever reason, that's just harder to do now because we've gotten so used to how easy it is to do it the other way. Not only that, try tapping on this keyboard with one hand, and you realize just how difficult that is. So if you are a one-handed typist on your phone, this is not the phone for you. This is really for someone who's really good at tapping two thumbs, and you're going to be able to fly on this. As given that your thumbs aren't as fat as mine, which I typed lots of many
errors.
You do
not have fat thumbs.
Well, according to BlackBerry, I do, because this keyboard was not easy for me to type accurately with. But you can customize this. You can do all these swipe gestures. This little currency button, you can assign that to a number of different things. I have it assigned as a control, so I can do quick copy or paste or select all, that sort of stuff. So again, going back to customizing everything, that's something that you can do here. Things felt pretty snappy performance wise. It's a Snapdragon 660 processor with 6 gigs of RAM, and I think that's an improvement over the first one. The first one, they had big time problems with things feeling kind of bogged down, especially with, you know, BlackBerry's own software in there. Things would kind of get a little slower. Thankfully, they've given it, I think, the boost that it needs, and they didn't have to go the full way. You're not going to want to play games on this. You know what I mean? The form factor is just not perfect for that, and I don't think it's really marketed for that. It's really more for enterprise solution stuff.
So it's meant. I feel like you're saying it's more like a second phone or a business phone. Not,
I'd say business phone.
Yeah, yeah. Instead, so this would be the phone that your company would give you.
Sure.
And your primary phone would be something else.
I could totally see that, because, you know, part of what BlackBerry kind of has its name in. Security features, right? Enterprise features. And you get that. There's this thing called, let's see here. So I'm going to go into this. And if I do a triple scan down, this is privacy mode. So if you're somewhere and you want to be able to read things, but you don't want everybody to see what you're reading.
Oh,
you can
I
do
like
this.
That.
If you want to double, you know, you can
so
increase
many
the
times
size of it.
I've tried to hide, like, I don't want people to see the embarrassing stuff I'm talking about. Is really what it was.
So you can do that and then, you know, get out of it, just the triple scan down. There's a number of features like that. Obviously, DTEC is here. That's their kind of security, and their security solution feature set. You get your hub, and I'm not going to open my hub because it's really noisy. I'm talking very noisy, almost to the point to where I don't feel like it's any sort of actual improvement to my, you know, my ability to get through all of my emails and my multiple accounts and my Twitter feed and everything. It's just a single continuous list of everything from all of your accounts in real time, and it just feels super, super busy. But I know a lot of people like it. Camera wise, you do have the dual cameras on the back. I have to say, it's probably the most disappointing part of this phone. Instead of opting to upgrade a single camera lens, they decided to do what everybody else is doing and put dual cameras on here. And I just feel like the shots, I included a couple in the doc, shots are not super sharp. The kind of contrast between the brights and the darks, it's just kind of gets crunchy and not very, you know, kind of blown out a little bit. I mean, this was great lighting. Everything just kind of has a little washed out quality to it. I don't know. And I'll be completely honest, throughout my trip, you know, early on I was taking pictures with this camera and I eventually stopped because I had my Pixel 2 XL with me and it made amazing photos. And I was like, I'm not going to document my entire trip with a camera that's just not going to give me pictures that I really like. So I switched and I'm really happy I did because I got some amazing photos with the Pixel 2 XL. So they could stand to do more with the camera setup. But that's kind of a mini review of my thoughts on the Key 2. I'm definitely not saying that it's a bad phone. I think that this is a really great phone for people who are really locked into the hardware keyboard thing. I just question how many of those people there still are. You know what I mean?
Show yourselves.
Yeah, who are you? Who are you, people? So any thoughts? Like, do you guys think that the ship is sailing on these hardware keyboards, or does BlackBerry still have a market for this? I know they have a market, but is it significant enough for it to be a big bottom line driver for the company? What do you guys think?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think there's enough people who want hardware keyboards and phones anymore, and honestly, a lot of the market that they're trying to reach now, a lot of those people are on iPhones. So yeah. I don't know. I don't see them doing anything very well moving forward.
Yeah, I feel like there was definitely an audience or a user group that liked the physical keyboard coming from the BlackBerry. And we've talked about BlackBerry in the past and all this sort of stuff. There was a window of opportunity 6 years ago. 8 years ago, 7 years ago, somewhere north of 5 years ago,
right,
where you could have roped them in and said, "Hey, this is like your old BlackBerry. It's a physical keyboard. It's different than the iPhone. Here's what it is." But they didn't do that, or they couldn't do it. And now, like Cameron mentioned, you know, like a lot of them have migrated to iPhones or to Android, and they're living with a virtual keyboard. I think that the idea of a physical keyboard is something that's antiquated or unknown to a lot of phone users now, especially to the next generation. Like, I think you show this to a teenager and they'd be like, "Whoa, it's a keyboard." You know, like they wouldn't even know about BlackBerry's legacy. Not that this phone is for teenagers, but I'm just saying the idea of a physical keyboard. I don't think that sentiment and sentimental feelings for your old BlackBerry from 2006 is enough to get you to switch from an iPhone to this.
Yeah.
A good Android phone to this, you know.
I was going to say, not to mention that the idea of phones with keyboards were so normalized in the time when BlackBerry was really at its prime.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, everybody had a keyboard on their phone. I had a texting phone with a keyboard. My parents had keyboards on their phone. Sidekicks were still a thing back then. Like, those were really kind of the cool thing to have because they had all these. But then, like Cameron said, the iPhone came out.
Right. Well, and then, I mean, the big sea change was the touchscreen. Yeah. You know, the touchscreen really came on and dominated.
It changed the way we used phones.
It absolutely did. Because prior to the touchscreen, our paradigm was, you know, the actual keyboard on a computer. It was like, well, how are we going to put that on a phone? Well, you know, instead of doing the T9 entry, let's give them the full keyboard with keys. And then we moved to the touchscreen, and there was a little bit of an adjustment there where people were like, God, it feels so weird just tapping on glass and typing like that. But now we're so accustomed to it that it's really, in my opinion, for me anyways, it's really hard for me to go back.
There's also voice
software
dictation.
Keyboards have come a long way.
Yeah. They have.
Since, you know, I mean, they're so much better now. Because I know when I first made the switch, my first Android phone was the Motorola Droid with the slide-out keyboard. And yes. For the longest time, I didn't want to switch. I didn't want to give it up because I didn't want to go to a software keyboard. But when I finally did, it took a while to get used to it, but they're just – software keyboards have come so far since then. There's even less reason to have a hardware keyboard at this point because software is just really, really good now.
Yeah, and this is a merging of software and hardware. So, like, when you're typing, you still get the predictive, you know, characters up there. It's predictive words up at the top. But then it ends up being kind of a disconnect because you're locked. Yeah. You're locked down here in one kind of typing paradigm. And then you switch to another one up here. And there's gestures to, like, take the recommended word and everything. Maybe I just didn't type enough to get to that really real solid comfort point with that, but it always seemed to take me more time to, like, you know, make my way through it than it is what I'm used to. And
wouldn't
I don't
it
know,
just maybe be that's faster just muscle to dictate memory.
What's that?
I dictate a lot of my emails now. I use Google. I just use Google and I just dictate everything now. I don't need to type anything. There's an amazing engine on all of my devices now that can do it for me.
But there are a lot of reviewers that are posting reviews of this phone and saying, this is amazing. This is an awesome upgrade. I know Michael Fisher, who we had on not too long ago, said this is one of the best sequels as far as phones are concerned. And I would agree, this is an excellent sequel from the Key One. I'm not saying that this is a bad phone by any stretch. This is really nice. And as far as hardware keyboards on a phone, there aren't a whole lot of games in town. And BlackBerry, you know, it makes sense that BlackBerry would produce the phone that does that the best right now. It's just not for me, probably, you know? Anyways, full review, going in more depth, more detail on some of the reasons why I feel that way, coming up on this weekend's new screensaver. So check that out. And then we have some hardware in-house we haven't played with yet, but we are going to.
We haven't even taken the scotch tape off.
I know. This is exciting.
So, actually, do you
Except
have a knife?
That I don't have a knife.
I have long nails.
Do you?
But I don't know if...
Would it be strange to bite into the package?
This is not going to work for me.
Yes, it would.
I feel like if that's what you would normally do, there's nothing weird about it at all.
I have a knife at the other end of the studio, but I don't want to get up.
Oh, okay. So first person to unwrap the cellophane wins. Oh, wait a minute. Your cellophane's already off. It's not a matter of cellophane. It's a matter of the tab, and that is the hardest part. I didn't think about this part, to be honest. Look, I tried to think about it all, but I did. Oh, you know what? Yours... okay. All right. So what do we have? Let's talk about that.
Darn it.
I'm going to totally destroy this thing.
No.
I feel like I can get in there.
No.
Yes. Thank you. PC guy in chat room tosses me a pocket knife, but that does me no good. Oh, I think I got it. I got it.
No. No. It's not fair. It's not fair.
I win. It's all right. You work on yours and I'll show off mine real quick. This is the Moto Z3 or Z3 Play, depending on where you're at in the world. Hello, Moto. There we go. So this device here, I'm going to be playing around with over the course of the next, you know, week, I think, and do a review as well then, too. 6-inch full HD Super AMOLED display. Taking this stuff off is really satisfying. It is Moto Mod capable. So, yes, Motorola is still doing that. And you can snap them on to the back of the Moto Z3 Play. 1.8 gigahertz octa-core Snapdragon 636 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage with micro SD expansion capability. It does have the fingerprint sensor, doesn't it? I thought that it did, but never mind. Maybe it doesn't. I'm not seeing it. I know that it has face unlock, but that can't be the only way to get into here. Or maybe it is. Where is it? Oh, there it is. I forgot. It's on the side. That
finally. Much better than the front-facing thumb.
Yeah. So you save thing. On your display on the front. See, this is a true unboxing. I forgot about that. The fingerprint sensor is on the side. So you can just go boop and go right in. 3,000 milliamp hour battery. That is, of course, unless you get the battery expansion Moto Mod that you can plug into the back here. And tack on a whole bunch more battery. USB-C.
And Jason, if you need any of those, I have a drawer full of them.
That you're using all the time,
all
I imagine.
The time. You have no idea, all the time.
I'd hate to inconvenience you, Ron. I'll trade you a package of Oreo for them. And this is running Oreo at launch. Will be upgraded to Android P, whatever that's going to be. Dual rear-facing cameras, which are 12 megapixel and 5 megapixel at f1.7 aperture, up to 4K video, by the way. And then an 8 megapixel front-facing camera at f.20 aperture. And that's $499.99. And I'm going to play around with this over the next week. And also this Motorola smart speaker, Amazon Alexa smart speaker mod. Do you have this one, Ron?
I do have that. I love that one.
Okay,
that's very cool.
So don't send me this one.
Okay.
When you send me all of your Moto Mods.
That one's super cool. I showed that on the show, remember?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the wedge you put on your desk. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So I will play with these and let you guys know what I think. But, I mean, right off the bat, it's a pretty thin piece of phone, I gotta say. I'm excited to play around with this. And then it looks like Flo actually was able to chip away at the tab.
I was, and I did not break a nail. Also, apologies. My nails are super chipped right now. But hey, so does this look familiar to you at all? Like a phone you may have seen on the market before?
It's curvy.
It looks just like the Moto X4.
That it does.
Sold at Project Fi. Look at that back. It's almost indistinguishable. Especially with these dual rear-facing 12-megapixel and 5-megapixel cameras. It's f1.8 aperture. Inside this thing, there is a Qualcomm Snapdragon 427 with 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, micro SD, fingerprint, and face unlock. Also on this one as well, the fingerprint is here on the bottom. Now I'm having trouble taking the screen. I give up. Anyway, moving on. So yes, 3,000 milliamp battery inside of this. USB-C, as you can see right here. Look at that. Oreo on it already. 8-megapixel front-facing camera. That's probably it. And 5.7-inch 1080p IPS display, which maybe we can turn on. And this phone is a paltry $250.
Well, not bad. Yeah, the Moto G is always that kind of affordable spot, but it's not the ultra affordable Moto E family.
It is not, which is fine.
Which is usually closer to 100.
Want to pay that extra money for a reason.
If you can. Yeah, absolutely.
So I like that they kind of stuck with a similar design language as the phones they already have, actually. I mean, why not take advantage of that?
Yeah.
Factory line that you've got open already.
The curviness looks pretty good, but that plastic sheet here.
I know. I want to.
Don't worry. I got it. No, Victor's not going to show it.
Where's that technical difficulties bumper? Here we go. Okay.
There you go.
There we go. Cool. Satisfying.
Now I'm happy.
There we go. It is very fingerprinty, as you can see. But this doesn't look like a $250 phone. I mean, remember what you used to spend $250 on back in the day? It didn't look this good.
I know.
It did not look this good. It was made of cheap, measly plastic. But no, this is a solid. This is a solid Naka.
That's solid Naka.
Solid Naka.
there's your show title.
A solid Naka. Naka or Knocker?
Yeah, like an Aussie accent.
Naka. So do I spell it K-N-O-C-K-A-H or U-H or
A E-R? With an apostrophe at the end.
Oh, Naka. Okay. A solid Naka. There we go. Nice.
There you go. But yeah, I like it. I can't wait to use it. And you know, the thing about these cheaper motos is that I actually usually end up being pretty okay with the camera. So who knows? Maybe I'll like the camera.
Can't wait to find out. Is it now that is single on the back, right?
No, it's also dual.
It is dual.
Yep. It's okay. Also dual.
They're all
gotta get in
the
those
dual.
Lens actions.
So I know, Cameron, you're doing a lot of how-tos, obviously. Does that keep you, do you have to account for different devices and everything? How does that work out? Do you have multiple, of the newer devices that end up in your possession that you have to kind of ride around for your how-tos?
Yep, pretty much. I think that we experimented with some of the phones, like some Motorola phones and a couple of LG phones, but ultimately we landed on always making sure we have the latest Pixel and the latest Galaxy S phone.
That makes sense.
So those are going to be my main things that I use. I have the Pixel XL, the Pixel 2 XL, and then the latest 3 Galaxy S phones.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Good coverage. So I've got the Amazon speaker attachment on here, and it actually kind of positions the phone nicely for
it's a nice little wedge, right? Yeah. Like they did a good job with this design.
Yeah, it kind of puts it right in the right spot.
It's perfect for putting on your desk at work. Like you just you plug your phone into it, and you can plug that thing into the wall, and that way you're not losing battery or whatnot, right? So it's fine.
Oh yeah, right back there.
Yeah, right back there. Yeah, yep. So it's. It's cool. If I was an Amazon ecosystem person, I would be all over that.
Yeah, very neat.
But I'm not.
But you're not.
I am, but I'm not. I mean, I'm a Prime member, and I use Prime Video, but that's where it stops. I'm in it for the shipping. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm just in it for the shipping.
Yeah. So we talk a lot about, how devices are differentiating. Ron, I think you have someone on that topic.
So yeah, we love when we get a video mail. You guys know this, and we had a lot a few months ago, and then it's been quiet. But now Alan Hipson sent in a video mail where he's calling us out. What does Alan have to say? Let's hear it.
Hey, Triple E, Alan here from Glasgow in Scotland. I'd just like to let you know you've broken my brain. I've just watched episode 374, in which you talk about the Oppo X and the Vivo phone with the pop-up cameras. Now, every few weeks on the hardware section, I hear you guys talking about things need to be different, things need to change, things need a new design idea. And then when we get a couple of phones that are trying to change things with the pop-up cameras, you totally dismiss them out of hand. To quote Flo, just give us a brick. I just want a brick. So, what do you guys want? Do you want change in the phones, or do you just want black bricks? Thanks for listening to me. Cheers. Bye.
All right. Well, hang on. Yeah. Before Flo responds, I would like to point out that, number one, I was not on episode 374.
Oh.
So that was you guys. And number two, I have always been on the forefront of wanting new designs in phones, and I like the pop-out camera, if we remember correctly. And number three, Alan, you're my new best friend.
I wasn't going to respond yet. I was going to say that I appreciate that it was done in such a beautiful background.
Be on the beach right there.
Hard hitting, you know, like, what are you doing? But it's true, we do waffle a lot. I think we've become very picky. I think we're a picky bunch.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes maybe we take for granted the fact that we have such access, and that we're like, hey, surprise us. Give us something cool to look at. Probably because we're a little, maybe I am just speaking for myself, maybe because we're a little bored because we're covering this stuff on a day to day. And maybe we're the ones who are looking for the excitement, but we're not taking into consideration our viewers and our listeners who are not constantly bombarded with all of these things and don't have to like write a narrative about every phone and every device that comes out. They're just like, hey, that's pretty new and cool. Like, why are you guys slumming on that? It's kind of cool. And that's a really good point. Maybe we need, like you'll find out at the end of the show, our Oreo rating. I think maybe we need to rethink how we think about these new hardware advances. Because the truth is that every little thing that happens ends up being a minuscule change towards a larger design paradigm.
That's a really
every
point.
Little thing that happens. Even the way that we interact with our phones now, we are more speaking to it. That's how companies want us to, at least Google definitely wants us to use the phone that way. And you notice that the interface is changing to morph that. It's morphing into that as well. And so we have to think about design that way too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know? And people are clamoring for, no, they're like, well, I want a bezel. So, of course, the company is going to be like, well, then we'll put the camera on a pop-up thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the company, I mean, and the engineers, we're not engineers. They come up with that stuff. They come up with that mechanism, that popping mechanism. So maybe we need to rethink how steadfast we are.
I think this is great to hear you enlightened and to be open to change and to embrace a non-brick phone. I'm proud.
Honestly, Ron, after you mentioned the phones on The Expanse, then I started watching The Expanse, and then I started to see these phones happening, and then I started to really, the more I was watching the show and seeing these phones pop up, the more I kept thinking about you, and like, Ron really likes these phones. Could I ever use a phone like this? And, you know, we're not going to get there unless we allow companies to experiment.
So my only complaint about the Expanse phones is that because they're not real, right, and because they are CG, everyone on the show who holds them by like the edge because the rest of the phone is all CG, so they can't hold it like a regular phone. So it's always like it looks like this very delicate thing that they're about to drop all the time, and it's like, but we'll get there. I mean,
that's the future of holding phones.
Yeah, who knows?
Delicate flowers.
But, you know, but like we've seen recently, you know, just the past couple of weeks, we've seen the Samsung prototype of the roll-up OLED phone. We've talked about folding phone prototypes with the pop-out camera type thing. I think now's the time to challenge the paradigm. Just saying.
Yeah, and Flo, I think you made an awesome point as far as the way that we get to the big change are all the incremental little changes, right? I want phones that are forward thinking. Absolutely. Sometimes like with the little pop up camera, maybe less so the actual phone. Which one was it that had the whole phone that moved versus the other one that had just the little pop up camera?
Remember.
I know I can't remember the exact phones between the two, and I'm certain that the chat room's going to remember.
So,
I've got vacation
Oppo,
brain.
It's the Oppo Find X with the pop-up
right.
camera.
Find
That's
X.
The little slide-out camera. Like, yep. There's just certain things for me and my own personal taste where, like, I just want things to be more refined than they are at a certain point, you know? So it's awesome that they're doing something new and creative and everything. I just want it to be just a little more refined, yeah. Like a little bit. And I think that the full-moving phone... which is what I'm going to call it because I'm not keeping it up to date on this, is way more refined than the little like slide-out tray camera thing.
But not every baby giraffe comes out walking.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like, that's why I really like your point. Like, it's like not seeing the forest for the trees. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's
a lot of metaphors.
Lost.
The pop-out camera was also on the Vivo Next, too. Remember the Vivo phone?
Yes.
So thank
right.
you. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you, JJ, in the chat room.
Appreciate Cameron, that, so. How do you feel about all of these
genre-bending
devices?
Genre-bending.
So I think everybody wants something different. And like you said earlier, I don't remember who said it, but somebody said nobody wants bezels anymore, which the war on bezels, I have many opinions about that. I like bezels.
The war on bezels.
But anyway, the thing is, I want something that's new and different, but I don't want it to be more breakable in the process.
Yes.
And that's great. How I feel about these pop-out cameras. I mean, it's especially the little pop-out camera. I mean, you're literally one drop away from just snapping it.
Yeah.
And that's I want new innovative design that doesn't compromise the build quality or the structural integrity of the phone.
Yeah, yep. It doesn't fair. Compromise that integrity of the device, and
yeah.
I think that's a fair thing to want. At the same time,
that Expanse phone is so sexy. They call it the hand
I
terminal.
I love it because I'm just
it's
like,
so
wow, like full res like, images that are transparent.
What version of Android is that?
I've looked at it really closely too, and so it's phones and tablets, and the plastic itself is the shape of a rectangle, but then when it's on, it expands beyond the width of the quote-unquote bezel, and I can't tell if it's like a light projection thing or like how that's actually happening, but when you watch it, when they do video, they'll get widescreen video on a portrait device, which could be the answer to our portrait versus widescreen video and camera problem. So, I don't know how this works, but when we have it, it'll be a great day. So.
Kind of reminds me of the tablets from Westworld.
Yes, a little bit.
I really cool love too. Those tablets.
I really, very cool. Really.
They're super cool. I don't understand the interface. The interface looks like it needs a little, like, I don't know.
It's not very intuitive, I agree, but that's where I feel like the tablet market should be right now. And
those little foldable tablets. My only problem with those in Westworld are like the big nubbin in the corner where the cables plug into.
Yes.
Which just ruined the big dial that just it's ruined true. Any sort of, a small technology aspect to it. But yeah. So. good times. All right. Well, let's take a break and thank our next sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. And in some circles, I'm known to be a businessman. I own several businesses. I don't know if I'm successful, but I do know that becoming a successful business owner doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of hard work. And you really can't afford to let anything get in your way at all. So when it comes to all the details and regulations, you need someone that has your back. And that someone is LegalZoom.com. Thank God for LegalZoom.com. They're fantastic. LegalZoom was created 17 years ago, and their mission is simple: to help all Americans confidently and competently navigate the legal system. Which, if anyone's tried to navigate the legal system, it is confusing. But so since the 17 years ago, over a million people have trusted LegalZoom for business formation. But the great thing is that your relationship with LegalZoom hardly ever ends there. They put together a network of independent attorneys licensed in every state, available to answer your questions and provide legal advice for your business without billing by the hour, since LegalZoom's not a law firm. Because as a business owner, you have enough to worry about without getting bogged down with quote-unquote legal stuff. Legal stuff is the worst. Let me tell you, I'm going through contracts at work right now, and legal stuff is difficult. So luckily, you don't get bogged down with the legal stuff. For that, you've got LegalZoom.com. So go to LegalZoom.com now and use promo code AAA at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com and enter promo code AAA. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. Thanks, LegalZoom, for your support and making legal stuff easy to navigate. Thanks, LegalZoom.
Thank you, LegalZoom. Real quick, before we get into the apps, I just want to show. Hold on. Let's see here. And JJ, thanks to you in chat for reminding me that when I looked further in the package, the Moto Z3 Play actually includes a battery Moto mod in the pack.
Good.
So oh, that's cool.
Should have from the beginning.
So, and that looks great. Look at that. Yeah. It smooths out the bump. And yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So right out of the gate, it includes a Moto mod to kind of get used to the mod thing, which is a really great idea, I think, to boost your battery. So thank you for the reminder on that, JJ. I will play around with that and let you guys know what I think. All right. It's time to get into the apps.
It's funny because most people don't realize that that is the lyrics to this song.
Apps, it's
whispering apps. Yeah,
which is weird because the segment is called apps. It's very fitting.
It's weird. It's very meta.
All right, you got the first one.
Well, so we were talking about past Amazon things. Well, guess what? Snapchat code reveals team up with Amazon for a camera search. Yes, that's right. Snapchat has teamed up with another giant conglomerate to bring you a Google Lens competitor. So this was spotted in the Android app code, and it's codenamed Eagle, which is interesting. I wonder if Snapchat follows that naming paradigm for everything else. The visual product search, it ties into Amazon listings, which, hello, e-commerce. That's something new that's coming up the fold. You can press and hold to identify an object, song, barcode, and more. And so this works by sending data to Amazon, Shazam, and other partners. And those of you who might use Snapchat might know that you can already do that to recognize a song. You can press and hold. Yeah, okay. So now it's just pressing and hold with additional things. And it looks like it's being done through what I would assume is some offshoot of like Alexa capabilities, I want to say. I'm probably really reaching for it there. But so if the results are tied to an affiliate link, that could be, you know, that's extra revenue for Snap because they're not doing that well on the stock market. So, you know, Snap may call itself a camera company, but pretty soon it could be adding e-commerce to its, to its list of things it's doing. Pinterest also has its own lens that IDs objects and services related content. So this is kind of like a new way of using things that are connected to the internet is just how do we help you find more stuff to buy?
How do we analyze the world and let you find search results based on that, right?
And I'm still using Snapchat, so you can come follow me, that flow. I'm still on there. But
are you fearful for Snapchat?
I'm not. Okay. For me now, it's just a small little intimate network of people. I'm not really, I don't take it as seriously as I used to, I ever did. But it is interesting to note, just like a lot of people have really dropped off of it, and it definitely is like a much younger user base now. And so I can imagine that this is, I don't know, this feels like the MySpace-ification of Snapchat. Like, remember when...
I don't know if that's a good thing. You put it that way.
MySpace became like this huge. I know. So MySpace became like this huge music portal for a lot of people, and it was like, go to MySpace to connect with your bands and like listen to music and all this stuff. And then,
what
happened? Just kind of stalled.
Oh, yeah, it did.
So I don't know, but I mean, if there's some underlying technology that comes out of this that Snap can continue to monetize, then you know they'll be fine. And for what it's worth, I still really like their AR. So much more than Instagram / whatever Facebook is doing. It just is cooler. It works better. It looks better on the face. Like, it matches the faces better.
Yeah, it's a non-issue for me. Literally no one in my social circle or anything. It's not even a blip. Not even at work. Nobody's on Snapchat in my world.
My brother uses Snapchat. My cousins use Snapchat. Like, some of my friends, local
all
friends.
Instagram. It's all Instagram.
And of course, some of you All About Android fans out there.
I'm really out of it. It's not even Instagram for me. By the way, Snap has also used the, you know, so Project Eagle was this.
Yeah.
For their big redesign, that was Project Cheetah. So it is a thing that they do.
Ooh.
The animals. Eagle, you know, they have the animal thing. Google has the dessert thing. Snapchat has the animal thing.
Okay.
So there you go. Just a little factoid for you. Netflix is rolling out a new feature to automatically download and save upcoming episodes of series that you watch on your Android device. They're calling it Smart Downloads. It automatically downloads the next episode and then deletes the previous one that you just finished. All that's done via a Wi-Fi connection. So when it has connection to Wi-Fi, it does this. It doesn't work with movies. You can turn it off in the settings. And apparently this is rolling out today. So this is good for binge watchers. But then, Cameron, you wrote about this whole binge watching thing and you think it's not very good for us. Tell us why you feel this way.
First, I want to say that I'm not trying to upset anybody because it turns out people are really passionate about binge watching TV.
People
shows.
Love binge watching. It's true.
Oh, man.
It's a great escape.
And actually, that is one thing, one of the positives about it. But I'll get to that in just a second. So I had this thing where probably, I don't know, last year or whenever Stranger Things season 2 came out, my wife and I, we watched the whole thing and, you know, we watched like half of it one day and we finished it the next day. And I just felt really unsatisfied. So it got me thinking. I was like, I don't really like binge watching shows, especially when it's just one season. I can understand it when there are multiple seasons, like binging 5-6 episodes a day or something. But I didn't feel very good about it. And season 2 of Stranger Things was good. So it kind of planted this idea in my head that binge watching takes away what's special about TV. There's no connection with the characters, which, you know, a lot of people have argued with me that they feel a deeper connection because they spend more time with them or whatever. But I found some studies that basically agreed with what I was saying, that people who binge watched a show a few months later didn't feel the same way. They couldn't remember many details and it just didn't make much of an impact. So that's kind of where I went with the idea, and that it devalues the show, because it does for me. And I feel like a lot of people agree with me. I know there are a lot of people who disagree with me because, that's been brought to my attention quite a bit, and that's fine. You know, that's okay. But it's, and I guess at some point I have to define what binge watching is. You know, if it's 2 episodes, 3 episodes, I don't necessarily consider that a binge. But if you sit down and you watch, you know, you've sat in front of a TV for 8 solid hours. I mean, I just feel like that's not healthy. Especially
I did that
if it's
with
something.
Friends.
Listen, Cameron, I agree with you 100%. I think it's ruined the entire enjoyment of a show. And, you know, the idea of watching an episode and then waiting a week and talking to your friends about it and analyzing it and then get together to watch the next episode and stuff like that. People sit down and watch, you know, 13 episodes at a time, 10 episodes at a time. It just ruins it, I think. I just think it's unhealthy. I agree with you.
That's exactly where I was coming from. And, you know, that comes from a standpoint of, like, my favorite thing on TV is The Walking Dead. I'm obsessed with The Walking Dead, and every week I really look forward to it. And I spend the entire week thinking about the upcoming episode, and my wife and I discuss it throughout the week. And, you know, we're in a couple of Facebook groups where we talk about it. And I love that. And you don't get that with binge streaming shows. But Netflix is also changing the way people watch TV because they release an entire season and release it at one time. And so many people will sit at home on a Saturday and watch an entire season. You don't get that same sort of like, let's talk about this episode throughout the week because your friends just watched the entire season and you've only watched 2 episodes. So, you know, I don't think it's terrible. I just think taking it slowly adds more value to the show. Of course, there are the health implications of just sitting around for, you know, 10 hours watching TV. If you do it every single day, it can be a problem. But
yeah.
I don't know.
If you are binge watching, maybe think about why you feel like you need that escape is another thing I would suggest. Because
often it's a good show.
True, but I also try not to binge anymore. I don't even binge 90210. Like, I will do two episodes at a time, and then I'll wait a little bit, and I'll listen to some podcasts about it, and I'll watch some other stuff, and then I'll, like, continue on my, you know, 10-season trajectory. And also with, like, new stuff, I try to just space it out because I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy the narrative. Because I was watching shows, like, I binge-watched Parenthood because the entire thing is on Netflix, and I don't remember any plot point from that show. I just remembered I like there were spurts of me crying a lot, and then that it was done. I don't remember any plot points. just like the well, it's, you know, it's like This Is Us. It's a very
it was a good show.
It's about family and stuff. Anyway,
it's a good show.
All right,
just say no to binge watching.
Let's move on because we're running long. But real quickly, some interesting updates to some Google apps, specifically around watching. YouTube added incognito mode for Android users. They've been A/B testing this since May, and now it's on a wide rollout. So you can turn it on, watch, and your search history is not logged on your account. You can turn it off, and the session is cleared, and you return to your account as it was before. So very similar to the incognito mode in Chrome, but just in specifically in the YouTube app. So if you don't want anyone to know that you're looking for whatever you're looking for, keep it to yourself. And then
we don't want to know.
Yeah, and then Google Pay Send is merging into Google Pay. It's the U.S. I didn't even know what Google Pay Send is. Jesus. So it's U.S. only for now, soon in the U.K. You can tap to request money for up to five people for splitting the tab, for example. Also, boarding passes and concert tickets can now be saved to the Google Pay account. Ticketmaster and Southwest are the partners to start with that. So it looks like Google Pay is beefing up a little bit of its offering as it tries to be the one payment app that will rule them all, the true Android wallet. Before they rebranded in 6 months, but we'll see. So
Google Pay Send was their app that they released not too long ago at around the same time as Google Pay to be like, instead of doing this in Google Pay, we're going to create a new app called Google Pay Send for for friends. Yeah, you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me why it was a separate app. So this is like, okay, cool. So that experiment didn't work because 2 months later, however long it's been, here we go, where it probably should have been all along. So
hey, at least I got my Southwest boarding tickets on there.
Hey, nice.
Yeah, that's
there
nice.
You go.
Yeah.
No more
nice
paper.
Bonus.
No more paper tickets. Hey, we've got a quick little email to get through really quick. So quick question regarding the new Google Podcast app. I'm trying to add my favorite Twitch shows, but I only see audio versions in the app via search. Am I missing something, or is there another sneaky way to get video versions of the shows in there? Thanks in advance, Chris. Unfortunately, Chris, Google Podcast, still a very nascent app, still very much in its beginning stages, and it doesn't look like there's video currently supported in the app. So that is a definite sad
not
trombone.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yes. Not fully featured in that.
I don't even have Android Auto or casting abilities in it yet, so I'm waiting for stuff with you. I'm sorry.
They're getting there, I suppose.
But thank you, by the way, for trying to watch us through it. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you can find it in the YouTube app.
Which, you can.
Oh, man, this whole thing is getting so confusing. Go
not
to
our
YouTube
fault.
For the video
podcast.
No,
fault.
No, no. It's Google's strange logic. All right, and with that, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Checking in on last week's poll, and Flo is
wow.
has demonic laughter to
I
her
gotta
right
admit,
now.
I'm shocked. I did not think. I mean, like, second maybe, but first by 50% people? Really?
bit.ly/AAA376. Capital A's on that, by the way. And first place, Android Easter Egg Collection at 50%.
Totally,
that was your app?
Yeah. Yes.
Way to go. Way to go.
She phones it in and she wins. It's amazing.
it unlocks all the little tricks from the different versions of Android.
Well, they're all in one app. So
yeah, all in one app. You get to play them.
Oh, wow. Well,
hey, ridiculous.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's
that's a nice little
it.
Walk
it's
down
a,
memory
it's
lane.
A good, yeah, it's a good way to waste some time.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Second, Rana's not happy. Second place, Volumio. It's 27%. Was that yours, Ron?
No, it was Patrick Norton's.
Patrick Norton's Volumio.
And that app requires like Raspberry Pi and all this sort of stuff. I mean, I thought I had a lock with me messaging. It was machine learning, AI, text messaging, and analyzed you.
Ron's personality.
Unbelievable.
You did not, in fact, have a lock with me messaging. You got 23% of the votes.
I was kind of close to second. But so with those results, We've got 28 weeks through in the arena. Jason, you are in last place with 54 points. You need to catch up, my friend. Flo has 63 points.
Still in third
In third place. I've got second place with 71 points, and guests are still in first place with 77 points. And we have to call out the streak. Flo has three straight wins, so she's on a roll. So there we go.
World Wide Web.
I mean, if there are things that you have to do to come out from the end of the train and come to the front, you have to win multiple weeks in a row, and you're doing that.
Still in third
doing
place.
It.
I know, but you're doing what you need to do.
We'll see.
3 weeks in a row. That's not easy to do, Flo. That's
hopefully
all
you
saying.
Like my app today, which we'll find out last because I won last week.
That's right. So we'll go ahead and reposition that to last. I was out last week.
You were enjoying your life.
So I think that means that I go first. Is that how we normally do that?
Yes.
It's like it's our punishment. Yes.
You go first. I go second. Cameron goes third. Flo goes fourth.
All right. So I'm going to show off a game that I was unaware, whatever the kids are saying these days. Until this trip when my cousin, who I get to see every once in a while, showed my kids a game that he was really obsessed with. And it's just kind of a fun, cool game that I had never heard of. It's called Dancing Line. And you've heard of all these games that are kind of like rhythm games, right? Where you use your fingers and you tap out the rhythm and it's all music-based. See if I can get the music up here. This is only sort of like that. The idea behind this, and you can kind of see the graphics of it are kind of Crossy Road, pixel art sort of direction. But the idea behind this is that you have all of these different maps, many of which I have not unlocked. And you are a line, and you basically go through the maze tapping to the rhythm to try and make it through and follow the path as you're supposed to. It's really hard. But thankfully, the music is actually pretty good. So I'm not going to talk while I play this because it's really hard to talk and do a rhythm-based game. So hopefully this is loud enough for you to hear through the mic.
Can you do the Western one?
No, I'm really bad at the Western one.
Oh, okay, fine.
And I'm really bad at this one, too, but I happened to pass it the last time I played. This is called The Winter. They have different remixes of them and stuff.
What about the beach? It's summertime.
Okay, I'll do this one. This is the beach. It's got a nice
Nice rhythm to it. Oh, yeah.
All right,
Miami.
So here we go. This is called Dancing Line. I'll go ahead and cue it up. You can see the little path here. I can turn those off if I want to, but I don't want to. I'm going to leave it on. And here we go.
Oh, I dig this. This is pretty cool.
Me too. I even dig the melody.
This like game is made for Jason.
Huh. Oh yeah.
And I just like the way that the backgrounds kind of change around with it. And then it gets harder.
Oh. The club is popping.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, man, I ran right into the wall.
It's okay, you got to the club.
That's okay, yeah. Whew, my heart is actually kind of beating fast a little bit. Anyways, you can see there are tons of levels here. And you unlock them as you go along and different challenges within. They have these other things that I haven't really explored, like events and everything. I haven't really gotten into that. If you want to go down the route, down the rabbit hole of, purchases and everything, you can. You can remove ads for $5, which is what I did. It's actually a pretty fun game to pick up and just kind of play through. And like I said, the music's actually pretty decent. So it's one of those games where you put on headphones and you just kind of play around with the rhythm. And it was really cool to watch my 10-year-old cousin be really, really good at this game and me suck so badly at it. And I really I was looking up to him. He's like, "Do you like it?" Like, he really wanted to impress me with the game. And that's why I'm bringing it here. So it's called Dancing Line. And it's free, but also within app purchases. If you want to get crazy, you can. And check it out.
There's a World Cup song.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some World Cup themed stuff in there as well. So there you go. All right, Ron, you are up next, and I believe I have it installed. If I do not, I will get it installed.
All right, well, if not, there's a video and there's some screenshots, but it's real simple. My app is called, it's a productivity app. if you're ever out in the world and you need to, if you got physical paper documents and you need to digitize them and share them with somebody for work or something, AutoPick is an app that will scan, that will use your camera to scan a document, use OCR technology to recognize the text, and then immediately allow you to copy that text and paste it somewhere. Earlier today, I received my shipment from the Pasta of the Month Club, and I scanned the letter that comes along with it, and it detected the letter perfectly and then set it up to copy and paste so that I could send it to somebody to brag about the pasta I got this month. So, yeah, so clearly you enable the use of the camera. What you want, you kind of need two hands, Jason, so you might want to – because what you need to do is you need to tap on the screen to identify the area. Nice. Good thinking. To identify the area that you're scanning. So just tap on the – there, you'll get a little box. Oh. You see? So you want to tell you're doing that area. All right, so it's going to take that picture. It's going to take that picture, and then it scans it, and then immediately saves it, and copies it, and puts it into the share mode. So if you want to send it to somebody, you can. But if you swipe that down, you can then you see what it what the scan was, and that's all. Those are all the highlights of the scan. That was a little tough because you had a lot of text in different places and all that sort of stuff. But you can
a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, but you can see it picked up the entire, you know, it trademarks of Amazon.com Incorporated, Moto Mods, TM, visit Motorola.com, powerful. Yeah, so it's pretty good OCR recognition. And the idea of the scanning and then plugging right into pasting into an app to pop it into an email or something like that, very, very handy.
Nice.
So it's a free app. It's a handy thing to have on your phone whenever you find a situation where you need to scan some text. So there you go.
Right on. AutoPick.
AutoPick. Easy peasy.
All right, and that is free. Excellent stuff. All right, Cameron, you are the returning guest. Guest is number one still, right? Is that right?
Number one, 77 points.
Okay, so no pressure, but the weight of the world rests on you.
Yeah,
no pressure.
It's a system utility called AccuBattery. So it's free. There is an in-app purchase. I cannot remember how much it costs because I've had the pro version for so long. There it is.
Looks
it
like,
is $3.99.
Yeah.
So yeah.
$2.99 today only.
Spoil your dad.
It says that every time you install it. So yes. It's $2.99 for new installations. Basically it's a little bit more than just an app that shows you, guesses how much battery life you have left. I found it when I was looking for a way to gauge battery health on Android because most of these tools don't exist. This one is great. So it takes time to, you have to install it and use it for a few weeks before it actually becomes really valuable. But after over time, it will tell you your battery health, the estimated capacity versus the design capacity. It will tell you the wear. It'll tell you when you overcharge. You can set an alarm. So if you only want to charge your battery to like 80%, which I think is the default setting, it'll alarm so you can unplug it so you don't leave your battery charged. On charge for too long. And then it can also tell you when things are going wrong with the battery in terms of if there are apps keeping the device awake. It'll tell you how long it stays in deep sleep when the screen is off. It tells you how long your screen has been on and how much of the battery it's been using. And it gets really, really granular. And like I said, I looked for several weeks for an app that would do this that didn't require any sort of root use. So it's doing all of this by using its own algorithms. That's why it takes several weeks. It doesn't, once you install it, it can't tell anything from before you install the app, only things from the point when you install the app. But I find that it's really accurate with pretty much everything. Screen off time, screen on time, battery health seems to be really accurate. Anyway, it's really powerful if you're interested in kind of that really granular look at battery usage and how you can improve the device's battery life.
Nice. It's called AccuBattery. It's got a nice design to it, and little kind of pop-up windows that kind of show you, give you information as far as what you're looking at so you can understand it a little bit better.
Hey man, a good battery app goes a long way, so that's a good pick.
Thank you. Yeah, I really like it. Plus, if you buy it, you get a dark mode, and the dark mode is gorgeous. So, yeah.
You're a dark mode fan.
I'm usually not. That's the crazy thing is that I usually don't like dark modes, but it looks really good in this app. Nice. They did a really good job.
Right on. Cool. It's called AccuBattery. You can use it for free, or you can upgrade $3.99, although when you install it, it'll give you the chance to upgrade for $2.99 if you do it right then. So, you know, just assume you're going to pay $2.99 and upgrade it when you install it. Very good pick, AccuBattery. And finally, Flo, rounding it out. What you got?
Let's see. Will the streak continue with this pick?
Dun, dun, dun.
No pressure.
No pressure.
So, one time I brought an app on here called Unroll Me, and it turned out it was, like, super fraud. So, but I'm still having a spam in my email problem, and now that my email is also my business email, well, that's just annoying. So, I found CleanFox. And before we log onto my screen, let's go to the app page first. Let me just make sure there's no sensitive information. But basically what CleanFox does is it's a fox, and what foxes like to do is they scavenge. And so when this fox is hanging out in your inbox, it's scavenging for stuff that you just don't want. So actually we're okay to look at this, Victor. Thank you. So what we've got here is, I get email from Sephora and I 0% ever open it. You know, I just read the headline and I go, nope, been there, done that, already got that blush and that color. I've got 37 emails sitting in my inbox right now from Sephora that I have not opened. And the thing that's nice about CleanFox is it also tells you how much energy you're wasting by being on this mailing list. So the fact that I'm on Sephora's mailing list, it costs about 350 gallons of carbon. It causes 370 gallons of carbon monoxide a year. So I'm contributing
How?
Because the servers that they're using are pumping this data. And so, like, for them to send me the email and then for the email to come to my inbox, it uses a server from Gmail. So Gmail had to, like, do the thing. And that put heat into the air. And that's why the ozone has a hole in it.
Listen, I'm all for reducing carbon footprint, but that's a stretch.
Listen, it's an angle, okay? This app is taking an angle, and that's the angle. And the thing about it is that you'll actually see a running calendar for how much you're saving the world here in the corner based on what you unsubscribe to, which is great.
They're laying on thick.
So it's really easy to use once you allow it access to your inbox. I think this is going to be okay to show. So once you allow it access, you can choose whether to delete and unsubscribe, keep or delete. And you'll have a huge progress bar here. Although if you're not ready to do everything in one sitting, you can always finish and it'll just kind of like partially do it. So yes, this is, I am going to delete and unsubscribe. Okay, this was an Indiegogo I subscribed to a while ago. I haven't opened emails. There's 6 emails. I haven't opened them at all, so I'm just going to delete and unsubscribe. Here's some customer support emails. I'm going to delete and unsubscribe. There's more Sephora. Delete.
Jeez, Sephora.
Let's say if I want to keep something, I don't want to keep that. You are going to be asked every so to share CleanFox because it is a free app. So they're like, hey, share us with your friends, which totally makes store. Oh, look, the Google Store. I have 2 emails from the Google Store. I haven't checked to see what happens if I tap this. I guess it, okay, good. It doesn't take me to the email. So I can keep it if I want to, and then it'll just keep it, if you need it to. So, when that's all done, geez, I have a lot of spam I need to go through. Then you'll have a little profile, 506 newsletters, how many you've detected. Mind you, I've had my Gmail account for like decades, okay? Like a long time.
It's not too bad.
So that's not, yeah. I've actually only had it since college, now that I think about it, which actually hasn't been a whole decade. But anyway, 90, how many newsletters you subscribe to? So I've unsubscribed from 90. How many emails you've deleted in bulk? I've deleted 15,000 emails. Oh. And
how does it know how many emails you've deleted?
Because it scans all of that, all of your inbox. You give it access to scan to everything.
But if you deleted it, shouldn't it not be in your inbox anymore?
Yeah, but it deleted it for me.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It deleted. I got you.
It told me. Sorry. It told me how many it deleted, and then how many kilograms now of carbon dioxide, whatever, a year reduced. So yeah, I can add additional inboxes if I want, And that's that. And then I can see how much. Oh, and the nice thing is if you share with friends, you can, and here's my little code. So if you want to, you know, if you want to grab it, you can use my little code. You can collect points for trees that they will plant around the world. So you can sponsor a tree.
They grow your
team
own
up
forest.
With the We Forest Project, which helps against deforestation in Zambia.
Nice.
So that's Clean Fox. It not only cleans your inbox, but it also saves the planet.
Yes, it does. This planet is definitely saved.
Thanks to Clean Fox. Yes, even though the app also requires server farming to run. But anyway,
anywho,
it's the idea that matters.
Clean Fox, and that is free as well. AAApoll.com/377 to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Dancing Line, AutoPick, AccuBattery, or Clean Fox? You can go there, vote for your favorite app, and we'll check in on it next week and see if Flo goes four wins in a row.
Or Ron beats me.
Or
we'll see.
Or, it's twit.to/AAApoll.
Oh.
Twit. Dot
man, you go to Bend, Oregon and forget how to do everything.
It's true. And it was awesome.
Listen, Jason.
Sometimes it's nice to forget everything.
It's
okay,
fair.
There we go. Twit.to/AAApoll377. There we go. That should work. That'll take you to the page and you can vote for
now
your favorite
Victor
app.
Can
now,
vote.
Victor, what are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do? Huh? Huh? Nice.
Oh, yeah. You know, you like the tunes, didn't you, Victor?
So Dancing Line gets the vote, but it's tied with AccuBattery at this point.
Wow.
I think AccuBattery is a pretty good pick.
It is.
This could change. You never know where it's going to land.
Oh
we'll
gosh,
check
it's gonna
out.
It's
going to
be the year of the guests.
Week. Yeah. It's fixing
to be
that.
Do you have to give a present to all of them?
Yeah, everyone gets a package of Oreo cookies or pie, whatever NRP ends up being. Cameron, it was great having you on, man, and let's not wait four more years.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. Also, I'm almost tempted to vote for Clean Fox. That is an amazing app. I'm going to install that right now.
Well, thank you, Cameron. I really appreciate it.
There it is. Look at the love. Oh, thank you. Look at the love.
Super cool.
Yeah, so Cameron, this is kind of your chance to plug whatever you might have that you're working on right now or where you want people to follow you. Obviously howtogeek.com is where you're writing. Do you have anything kind of in the works that you want to talk about, or do you want people to follow you?
We also have a sister site that is relatively new, reviewgeek.com. So we've been doing this one for a few months. I write there a little bit too. How-to is still where I mainly am, but reviewgeek, we kind of do take a different approach over there, so it's pretty cool. So check that out, and you can follow me on Twitter at Summerson or Instagram at, I think it's C. Summerson. I actually don't even know my Instagram handle now that I think about it. Yeah,
I don't
C.
know
Summerson.
Mine either.
That's okay.
Yeah, nobody's on Instagram. Instagram's like a barren wasteland, right?
I do this thing where I will post like guitar videos and stuff on Instagram, like just so heavily for a few weeks, and then I get tired of recording and editing videos just for Instagram, and I just stop.
Yeah,
so
I hear you.
Yeah. It's mostly music there.
Awesome. Right on. I'll have to check that out. That stuff, it's like you get inspired and you do it, and then you hit a wall. You're like, I think I've got to go concentrate on this other thing now.
Every time. Yeah, there we go.
Right on. Everybody check Cameron out over there. Obviously, you've got a whole lineup of guitars behind you in your shot, and I want to play them all. Anyways, really awesome having you on, Cameron, and we appreciate you taking time to join us, and we'll bring you back soon.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was great. Thank
right
you.
On. You bet. Flo, what's new
Me?
In your world? I mean, obviously know-how, right?
Yes, I'm still doing know-how with Megan Maroney. We've got another 11 weeks left.
Nice. I checked out episode once. Very good. It was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got 11 more shows coming up. So this Thursday, the 12th, July 12th is our second episode of the season. It's all about security and securing your stuff. And we have a special guest, Stacey Higabotham, who is the IoT, one of the IoT queens out there on the internet. So definitely tune in.
Why does Megan look like she's getting away with something in that photo?
Because she is getting away with all the Apple stuff in her household. Let me tell you, she's selling me on this stuff a little bit.
Oh, really? I was going to say, you got to talk her out of it. You got to talk her down from the
from the Apple HomeKit stuff.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
It could go in any direction. You never know where it's going to land. What about you, Ron? What's up? What's new in the ROM world?
Well, having fun all the time, working hard. Recently, a little movie came out called Ant-Man and the Wasp. And if you go to ifanboy.com, I chatted with my good friend Connor about that new movie in a podcast form where you can hear me laugh about the best joke in any superhero movie in the past 20 years. I'm not going to reveal it for those of you who haven't seen the movie yet. So go see the movie or listen to the podcast to find out about it. But yeah, it's a good time. So yeah. And you can follow me on Twitter at RonXO and on Instagram at RonXO. And I'm going to have some bigger stuff to talk about next week.
So oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. So
I hope so, man.
I'm going to go see Ant-Man with my movie pass just so that I can figure out what the joke is.
Well, if for those of you watching or listening who know me very well, when you see the joke, you will know exactly what it is. So
I bet I won't.
You will, Jason. You will.
Okay.
Guaranteed you will.
Don't spoil it, Victor.
I have to actually watch it in order to catch the joke.
It's a very specific joke where I was one of three people laughing in the theater, but it's amazing.
I was laughing because of you, Ron.
It's basically a Ron joke. Let's be real.
I felt like I was, you know, I was part of it too.
Yeah. You ran on the joke.
Listen, I don't know how it got in or why it's in the movie, but it's there, and I love it.
That's great.
I'm going to go see it. Yeah. This right weekend. On. Now I'm so
curious.
Eat french fries while I watch it.
Victor, thank you for your help, man. Always appreciate your input and your help on this show. Really
no
appreciate
problem.
It. Thank you. You can find me at yellowgoldmusic.com or here on the Twit Network doing tech shows. You're probably going to find me on here doing tech shows more than you're going to find me at yellowgoldmusic.com. But hey, if you want to find me there too, there you go. I've given you the information you need. As for this show, that's it. We have no more show for you. It's done until next week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Fire off an email to us at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. You can find all the Arena apps that we've ever covered on the show at twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. There you go. All the most important information is there. On this show. So if you want to subscribe, go there. You'll find the information that you need to do that. You can watch us live in studio. If you hit up tickets at twit.tv, you can get on the list and be in the studio. We don't have anyone today, but every once in a while we do, and we appreciate that. But you're probably going to watch us live on the internet, which is what most people do. That's every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. Bye. My Oreo box is a little empty now. I've got one last little one for today, and I need to resupply.
Just a slight aside.
Yeah, how were the fireworks?
Oh, they were actually really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were actually really, really good. They just had a little popping mechanism at the end.
Okay, mechanism. Yeah. There was technology inside.
But I was going to say, my husband baked an apricot pie, and it made me like really want it to be Android pie so that we can just really get creative.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, because really then there are different variations of pie.
I know, but I'm thinking you could really get into it too, Ron, because then you could like just come, you could like get a pie from like your favorite bakery and be like, I'm going to try this pie, and then like Yelp reviews, and it's like, it's a whole movement.
There'd be a reason to eat pie every single week. And if you think the sound of Oreos crunching in the microphone is disgusting, just wait till we're eating pie into the microphone.
Well, all the gooiness and the
it's all smacking and around.
Well, then it can be all ASMR.
I was going to say.
We'll get a whole new legion of fans.
All about ASMR.
That tune in just for our pie eating portion. But not today.
If you do it long enough, you'll get another show out of it.
That's true. Wait a minute. I think we're coming up with a new show idea. I can develop this. No, my series of know-how will be all about that.
Okay.
But for now, a flavor that I don't think you're going to be able to find in stores, cookies and cream Oreo, and that's because I think these are done. It is a limited edition. I think these are done. I think this is one of those cases where I have a package of Oreo cookies that I ordered on the internet and there's no expiration date. So we know already that that's a whole bundle of fun. You never know quite what you're going to get inside.
Now, can I tell you that cookies and cream is my favorite ice cream flavor?
Really?
Yeah, I would agree. It's one of my favorites.
And I and for years there was a I believe Breyers and Oreo teamed up on a Oreo cookies and cream flavor.
Yes.
So I'm very curious if this will be reminiscent of that.
Is it reminiscent of those nights I spent alone crying on the couch eating a tub of that stuff?
Oh, remember when? Isn't cookies and cream really kind of like an ice cream based on the idea that you're putting chunked up pieces of Oreo cookies inside of ice cream? So how do you make an Oreo cookie be an Oreo cookie ice cream?
This is like Inception of Oreos. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh my God,
I'm going to guess that they crushed up other Oreos and put them inside of the fr- I mean, like, it's the, yeah, it's pretty it's,
Oh, that's a good point.
This is like the popcorn chicken where they take the remnants that kind of collect at the bottom and they're like, "What can we do with these tomorrow?" Oh, man. We'll put them inside the cookie.
But somehow it's far more delicious when it's an Oreo.
Yeah.
Or at least less disgusting sounding.
Right. It's true. So cookies and cream Oreo, it's like Inception for your mouth.
It smells so good. I don't want to stop smelling it.
Well, it's time to stop smelling it. It's time to start eating it. These are definitely a little older.
These are stale.
They got a little mushy
stale
quality to the cookie.
Stale Oreos is no new adventure for you guys. Come on. I mean, let's say it.
These things are packed so much with preservatives, nothing will kill us here. It's all good. This is actually going to make us stronger, to be honest.
I will build antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
Stale Oreos are disgusting, though.
They're not like crispy, crunchy like you expect a nice, fresh Oreo to be. They're a little softer on the cookie. We really have become like experts in the field of Oreo over the past year.
Well, I mean, you did say they were limited edition. There was no expiration. So they could have been limited edition from last year, for all you know.
And this would not be the first time that has happened, Cameron.
That's fantastic.
Yes. It's all in the name of this show.
I wish they were fresh.
Well, yeah.
Because they taste really good.
The clue on this Cosmo article...
Okay.
It came out last year.
All right, so these are a year old.
They said this was, I guess, cookies and cream was the one of those voted flavors.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Oh, cool. I would vote for that.
Yeah, I would too. It makes a whole lot of sense. And, I mean, it tastes good. All things considered, it's a good flavor. I mean, it really does kind of taste like Oreos, but in a different way. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Exhibit cookie.
It tastes like the ice cream. It tastes like a Blizzard DQ Oreo version put into like an Oreo cookie.
Yeah. It's just once you know that the soft cookie means that it's a little older, you kind of don't want to finish it.
It's like, ugh. Well, I did anyway because, listen, you can't waste food around here. There are children who don't ever get Oreos.
That's true.
You have to eat it for them.
My children will not be getting these Oreos. Actually, they probably wouldn't care. They'd probably like them. These are pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, let's leave the freshness factor out. Flavor alone. What do you think?
I'll give it an 8. I would buy these if they were fresh.
Yeah, I'd buy them too.
And I would.
I'd say 8 is pretty appropriate.
So I'm seeing a recent trend in the Oreo tasting is that you guys are skewing very high on the scores.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm wondering. I mean, I know we're nearing the end of this road, but like,
don't care anymore.
I'm wondering if like you're being more overly generous to the flavors than is possibly deserved, or do we need to get a little more adventurous flavors here up in the mix?
I think it's hard, Ron, because early on you establish when you do a challenge like this as professionals in this type of challenge as we are. We only know this through experience, is when you start, you kind of set a bar for what a 5 means versus what a 7 means and an 8 and a 10 or whatever. And so it's kind of like you've already dug your grave at that point. And so you have to work within those confines going forward.
I'll be honest with you, looking back on it, I regret the assertion of the original Oreo as a 10.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. Interesting thesis. Explain.
Because I feel like when we set the bar of the original Oreo as a 10 unanimously, then everything was compared against that. And A, we were unwilling to say something was better than the original Oreo, so we kind of set a ceiling. And B, the deviation from an original Oreo to a different, more adventurous flavor, everything was based off that original 10, where I really feel like an original Oreo should have been like a 5. And is it better than original Oreo or worse?
You know what I mean? Oh, like, I see what you mean. Oh, man. it's way.
Yeah.
Okay, but, we got to do that with the next.
Yeah, the next time, like, the next time Android's called Oreo, we'll do that.
Yeah,
we're on the horizon.
We should just start over now. It's fine.
Okay, I'll reorder all of our Oreos. We've finally figured out our scoring mechanism. So let's just start from the beginning. And in fact, let's re-record the episodes that they all reappeared on using the show notes that we already have. It's kind of like we can do a full do-over for the past year's worth of episodes.
I just need to bring
is there a favorite? Is there a favorite Oreo right now?
So twit.to/Oreo is the site that you can go to, the database of all of our ratings, of all the flavors that we've had. And I think the only one that scored a 10, like Ron said, was the original. And almost because, because that is my favorite. It's the original, and I've always loved it, and it's good. But B, it almost felt like you had to go there because that was where it all, you know, came from.
We tried our first Oreo on August 22nd last year.
Oh my god! Almost at a year. Please make
which
it here.
Which means
I feel it, man.
It's July. It's after 4th of July.
That's true.
So maybe we've only got a couple more weeks.
We do. Well, I mean, yeah. So we probably got 5 or 6 more episodes. So if I can find 5 or 6 more flavors of Oreo somehow,
and then I got to start thinking about what's the next stuff to.
I'm cool to just like be done with the daily tasting of desserts.
I had no idea there were really this many flavors of Oreo.
Yeah, neither did we when we started this, but there were just enough to keep us doing it every single week.
Listen, my personal favorite is the thin lemon ones. The thin lemon.
Okay.
That's where it's at for me.
All right.
Those thin pina coladas
were good. And listen, I know it's July, but I'm right now going to say for Christmas, I want this to go a full year. Please let this go a full year.
Oh, it'll go a full year. We'll make it go a full year. At this point, we can't not. Like, it would be lame to stop like a month before. Sorry, we're done.
By the way, the highest one that we've given thus far is the Le Original, the Canadian Oreo.
Oh, well, that was
Jason
very...
Jason gave it a 9.5 and I gave it a 10.
Okay. But did we do the original one on... We never did the original one.
There was just a tacit agreement, I think when Gina was on, actually, that the original was 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's
classic Oreo dunked in milk. 10.
Yep. There it is.
There you go. Yeah.
Good. I'm happy that extra piece of information was included on that. Because if it was just classic Oreo, not dunked in milk, it might have been like a 9.5. But dunked in milk, perfect 10.
That's
and I would
right.
agree.
Gina
it's better with
it
milk.
Milk.
Yes, it is.
There
better.
Are some really high scores on here, though. There's also some really low ones, like the Fruity Pebbles Oreo. I'm glad to see that scored a 1 because that sounds terrible.
Oh, it was horrible. It was awful. Yeah, even that one, I didn't give that a 1. I gave it a 3. I don't know what the difference is because I'd never eat it again, so of course it deserved a 1. Yeah, our scoring's a little all over the map. Maybe we should have just stuck with thumbs up, thumbs down, to be honest.
Well, that's a little too binary.
Yeah, like Netflix, drop the scores and just go with something simple.
Which I'm anti with that because the world is moving in a direction where there's no nuance, right? And I really think that we still need nuance. So
I don't know. Maybe what we need is AI to learn what we think you would like and then... Yeah. And then present it for you automatically. All right. I think
Google's probably already working on that. To be honest.
Yeah, they're going to release it right when the new version of Android is released, and they'll be a full year too late.
Okay, have you read this full page, by the way? Currently untasted flavors. Thank you to whoever put that together.
That would be Patrick.
Lemon
I'm
twist,
pretty sure.
Apple pie, Halloween, golden, Team USA, reduced fat.
Golden. We didn't taste golden?
Surprisingly, which is just the blonde one.
And there's more to add to that list.
Also, fun fact, this list was created and is regularly maintained by an iOS user.
That would be Patrick. That would be Patrick DeLahanty here at Twit. iOS user and maintainer of this database.
Very important database.
It really is. It's become one of the most important databases in the history of mankind.
I agree.
I've heard.
I agree.